Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, I want to invite you to the book of Psalms, This week I have been burdened with this message in a good way. But as I have read two simple verses, I was convicted over so many things. You know, we've talked about it over Wednesday nights. I've said it 1,000 times. Every time I read the Word of God, I see something different than what I did before. I sense something different than I did before. And I hope you do as well. But this one verse blew me away. Psalms chapter 55. A simplistic verse. I would encourage you sometime this week, if not today, to go home and read this entire chapter. Because this entire chapter tells us and instructs us on casting that burden upon the Lord. And verse 22 says simply this, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You know, I find it unique that as many times I've read that and as many times as I've thought about that one simplistic verse, I never thought in a million years that sin would be a burden. Are you with me, church? Sin will burden you. It will bring you down. It will cause you to fall into the pit of despair, if you will. It will cause you to see things like you have no clue what's really going on, and it becomes this normal routine in your life. And we don't look at it that way. We see it as a typical adjustment of being human. Amen? Because the Bible tells us what in Romans, "For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God." But our sin should be a burden to us. Sin should be one of those things that when we think about it, it becomes a burden, and it's like this big rock that we carry around on our shoulders. And every day, we get up and we learn how to stand up a little straighter because it doesn't bother us like it used to. Are you with me, church? Here's the thing. You can do something over and over and over and become accustomed to doing that one thing. Did you know that? If you're a painter, you're going to paint the same way every time. You're going to have the same technique. If you build houses, you're going to have the same technique every time. If you're a house cleaner, you're going to have the same technique every time. If you work in a factory, you have the same technique every time. When you get accustomed to living a certain way, it's the same technique every time. I began to examine my heart this week. And I began to realize there's a lot of things that I had to repent of. Have you ever sat down and just had a conversation with God and go, "Look, you know me, you created me. You know every number on the hair of my head. You made me this way." Has anybody ever said that? God loves me. He made me this way. God didn't make us with attitude and arrogance. Amen? He didn't create us to be hateful and rude and despiteful. We become angry and despiteful because the sin within us discords us and disconnects us from Holy Spirit. You ever thought about that? Everything be going really great. Man, you're having a good week, and then then something happens, and all of a sudden you're a Christian, but you're an angry Christian? Okay, I'm not the only one, am I? Have you ever began to search your own heart and realize that there are things in your life that do not need to be there? Maybe it's a simple television show. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's the way you joke or cut up. Maybe it's something simple that you don't even think of that is slowly disconnecting you from God. Did you know that over this course of the years, people have become accustomed to living life a certain way? Did you know that? How many of you fry your chicken the same way every time? How many of you wash your car the same day of the week, every week? Think about that for a minute. I mean, seriously, you have habits and you have a routine. Sin should never be a part of your habit or your routine. Am I saying we're not going to sin? Absolutely not. We're all going to fall. It's not about the fall. It's about how long you stay there looking up. Because if you stay on the ground, sooner or later it becomes a burden. It stresses you out. It disconnects you from God. Then the next thing you know, everybody else is the problem but you. Y'all okay? See, I've learned this the hard way in my own life. Man, I'm going to tell you, I got up this morning and I got ready for church. Thank God it's not Monday. Praise you, Lord. I got up this morning and I got ready for church and I said, you know what? I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to do the things that God has called me to do because I know how to do these things. Same way with work. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to have an understanding of it because I know how to do those things. And somewhere along the way, it hit me on the way here. Josh, it was like a punch in the face. It's no different than our sinful nature. It doesn't become a big deal to us because we know how to do those things. There's nothing worse than a Christian that misrepresents Christ. Think about that for a minute. Have you ever noticed that there's a lot of people who are Christians? There's a lot of people who say they're Christians. And man, they have a really bad day. And they drag Jesus through the mud and say, here, look at my King. Jesus is not a dirty Savior. He was a lamb who was slain on Calvary. Spotless. Blameless. He died not just for one, but for all, for the ransom of many. And somewhere along the way, we've tarnished that a little bit. You know, I think about that word hypocrisy and I think about the word hypocrite. And you know the difference between the two? The spelling. The spelling. Did you know that there are so many times in our own personal walks that we really tarnish the name of Jesus as Christians? Look, David had this idea. I want to share a story with y'all. You all know it. David had this idea. One night he's standing there and he's looking out across and he sees this woman and she's bathing and he says, I like her. I like her a lot. So I'm gonna take her as mine. And he does. Then he has her husband killed. Carrie does not like David. She says David is a jerk. David was a man after God's own heart, and David knew. David knew. If you read the book of Psalms, David knew what repentance was. David knew how to repent. David knew what sin was. He knew what was disconnecting him from God. He knew what the disconnection problem was. We as Christians and as men and women who have been born again, and if you haven't been born again, today needs to be that day. We need to understand what disconnects us from God. Have you ever prayed And I'm going to ask y'all a serious question. Have you ever prayed and you begin to pray and there's times that you feel like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling? Examine your heart. Examine your life. Examine what it is that may be disconnecting you from God. Because I guarantee you this, and I know from experience, I'm preaching just as much to me as I am anyone else this morning. I know from experience, sin will disconnect you from God. I cried this week. That comes to probably no surprise to you all. But I sat and I thought about this the other night, and I began to weep. Because I thought, you know what? He was beaten and wounded for my transgressions, and I act like it's not even a big deal anymore. Like it's an habitual habit just to say, Lord, forgive me. Please, just forgive me. You know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? And we as Christians, we constantly do the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. And that different result is sin. We don't expect it to separate us from God. We don't expect it to be a burden. We don't expect it to be one of those things that merely tear us apart from the inside out. And when it does, we're shocked, we're confused on what's really happening. David was torn from the inside out in Psalms chapter 51, one of my favorite chapters. Psalms 51, David was broken, he was hurting. And he says this in verse 9 and 10, he says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. David's call for repentance wasn't just that simple. This whole chapter paints a picture. He says, cleanse me, wash me with hyssop. Let the bones that you crushed rejoice. But we say something rude or mean or get an attitude. Oh, God created me this way. No, He didn't. You know how many times I've been reminded that God didn't create me to be a jerk this week? Y'all know I'm real and straightforward. I'm not going to beat around the bush. And I had somebody say, Tom, it's okay, man. The job makes you cold. No, it does not. No. Nothing makes you cold except for your nature to do the things you know you ought not to do. What was it Paul said? The things I know not to do, I do. And the things I ought not to do, I do. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like a catch-22. It's like, I want to be a good person. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good representation of Christ. But I'm going to fall and I'm going to mess up. And I'm going to do it again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. It's always the same thing that drags us down. What is it that drags you down, church? What is it that breaks your heart? What is it that tears you apart from the inside out? What is it that when you sit down during the day, you look around and you go, you know what, I've tried my best. Y'all didn't see that coming, did you? I try my best to be a good person. I try my best to do the things that I know to do. And Waylon, God knows that I'm trying every day to be a better Christian. I'm trying, brother. I'm praying. I'm seeking His face. I'm spending time with Him. And guess what? I'm still a sinful man. But I know what repentance is. Repentance is a lifestyle. Catch this, church. If you take notes, I want you to write this down because this is very important. Repentance is just as much of a lifestyle as Christianity is. If you don't live from a place of repentance, you'll be in a place of conviction and you'll never know how to be free from it. Well, Tom, we don't need to be free from our conviction. No, we need to be free of condemnation. Because there is no one condemned in Christ Jesus. Think about that, church. What are we missing? What is it that we're doing so wrong as a Christian people? I battled with this, Miss Gloria, all week. All week. Because I knew that it wasn't only a message for now, but it was a personal message. You know what's unique about it, y'all? Is we see people... Let me get my stool out of frame for a minute. Can we have a heart-to-heart this morning, Dale? Is that okay? Y'all know when I get the stool, it's time to get serious, right? Listen to me. Everywhere we go, we are a representation of Christ Jesus. Everywhere we go. Not only do we represent Christ Jesus, but we represent Protemus Church. Amen? We are a representation of who we are in Christ everywhere we go. I love y'all, and I love this church. I love each and every one of y'all. This is our church family. But beside the name outside that door, we represent Jesus first in everything that we do. Word and deed. Because there's going to come a time we're going to stand before Him. And each and every last person in this room is going to have to give an account for their life lived. I'm not going to give an account for no one else. Each person will give an account for their life lived. Word and deed. Could you imagine standing before Him? Think about this for a minute. Close your eyes and really think about this. Picture this. You're standing before Jesus. And He says, you know, what about that time you were walking through the store and someone bumped into you and you just really got angry? What about that time you were grocery shopping and I asked you to pay for somebody else's stuff and you just kept on going? Look at me. Disobedience is sinful. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you this morning. There is freedom in Christ. But repentance is a lifestyle we must live from. It's not just a once a week thing. It's not just once and Robin, you hit it on the head a while ago. I see so many times in my day that we're so busy. Whether it be work, get off work, go home, get ready, go to softball. I come home, and sometimes my time with the Lord is at bed. I'll stay awake for an hour, 2 hours after we go to bed, just praying, spending time with Jesus. That comfort spot of knowing I can come to You as I am. You know how many people are standing up in the church right now, Dale, and they don't even have a clue. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Brother, and they ain't got a clue who God's called them to be because the real gospel's not being preached from the pulpit. Repentance is no longer an objection. It's not even an obligation anymore for a lot of people. Did you know that? I talk to a lot of people who believe that once you give your life to Jesus, that's the only time you have to ask for forgiveness and you're good. It doesn't work that way. David was a man after God's own heart, and he was constantly repenting. He was constantly going forth and saying, God, here I am, I messed up again. Here I am, I messed up again. Could you imagine that being your everyday lifestyle? Here I am, I messed up again. Here I am, I messed up again. Can I tell you something, church? That's the way we should be. Here I am. I messed up again. This morning when our feet hit the floor, guess what? We messed up again. You got in your car. We messed up again. We look, and thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Because if it wasn't for grace, there's 613 laws and 10 commandments. You miss one, you've missed them all. And I'm going to tell you what. We all would have gave up by now. I like pork chops, amen. I like sausage. But for some reason, the culture of the church is no longer focused on repentance. It's no longer focused on conviction. It's been focused. I seen an email that I got yesterday from church leaders. It's an organization I've been a part of for 5 years. 5 years I've been a part of this organization. And I withdrew my membership yesterday. They sent an email. And that email simply said this. It was a long paragraph. And they said simply this. We should be more motivational inside our churches to grow them. Click this link to become a new motivational speaker. Free classes. Sign up now. What? Do y'all know me? Could you imagine me doing a motivational speech, Tater? You're either going to do it or you ain't. I mean, I'm... What is that? People don't need to know that they're sinful. Yes, they do. Yes, we do. We truly, truly do. We need to know that we are sinful people. Why? Because it keeps you humble. Amen? Because it's by His grace, His mercy, His blood that we're forgiven. Amen? Doing something a little different this morning. I want to ask you a serious question. One of the most serious questions that I think I could ask you. What is it that you struggle with? Don't answer that. Just think about it for a minute. And I really want you to think about it. I really want you to dig deep into your heart, and I want you to think about what I'm asking you. What is it that you struggle with? What is it that you battle with? What is it that weighs you down every day? What is it that tears you apart from the inside out, and every time you try to do something different, it just slaps you in the face again? What is it that keeps you burdened? Because you know there's something unique about a burden. It's not meant for you to carry. Matthew 11 is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Matthew because of that one verse. You can find rest in Jesus. Carrie will tell you, I've had several people over the years would call me and say, "Hey man, I know it's last minute, but we was having a service and the pastor backed out. Can you come?" And I would go, and I have two chapters that I usually pull from on the last minute. The prodigal son and rest in Jesus. Those are like the go-tos. Amen? Those are the ones that move your heart. And I remember, and I think I've told y'all this story before. I began one night to get ready to preach a men's conference, and the worship had just started. There was no preaching at this point, and I just prayed a simple prayer. The pastor said, "Man," he said, "if you would, just open us in a word of prayer." Music was playing soft, and I'll never forget, it was a simple prayer. I said, "Lord, whatever it is that is burdening us, let us just find rest in You tonight." And I prayed a few other things, Jesus' name, amen. And I looked up, and I seen a young lady with a broken leg and a cast on her leg crawling from the back door on her face to the altar. Crawling. She had crutches. She just set them down and got on her hands and knees and crawled to the altar. Not for show. Not so other people would see her. But that night, after that service, I thought, I probably won't never see these people again. You know, shook their hands, told them I appreciated them coming, appreciated their support. About a month later, Carrie and I was like, one of the people at this young lady's church, I had no clue at the time, had called. I knew this lady, and she calls and she says, "I'd love for you to come and do a night for our youth and just share your heart on evangelism." Sure. We go, and that young lady's standing there, and we're praying and spending time with Jesus, and we're all just kind of hanging out afterwards. And she comes up to me and Carrie, and she says, "You don't realize it, but that night that I heard you preach it, and I was under so much, I had so much on my heart that God was convicting me of," she said, "the weight of it, I couldn't even carry it anymore." She said, "I've been set free from all kinds of things that night, and I hadn't even looked back." And you know how she kept me humbled, Billy? She said, "It didn't have nothing to do with you. It was all Jesus." That's humble. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. If you leave here, listen to me. I'm not trying to convince you to do anything. I'm just telling you this. If you leave here this morning and you do not know Him, you have no hope in eternity and glory. None. None. If something happens and you go pull out that stop sign and you get T-boned and killed and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, you have no hope in eternity. That's Bible. That's not Tom. Can I tell you something else? You ready for this? If you leave here carrying that burden that you've been carrying for maybe years, months, days, however long it's been, that's your own fault. I'm just going to be honest with you. Well, Tom, you don't understand. Some burdens are easier to get rid of than others. I do understand that, but I'm going to tell you what, it's not meant for you to carry. Have you ever seen the illustrations of the pastors that preach the messages on baggage and they got all their suitcases and bags on them and they bring them and they set them down at the altar, then they pick them all up and tote them off again? That's an illustration of Christian people in general. We're so strong-hearted that we're dumb-minded. Not calling you dumb. Hear me out before you start shooting, okay? Seen some of y'all look up at me. We have these ideas that it's not really that hard to carry those burdens on our own. Well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that hard. I can handle this. Where are we supposed to cast our burdens to? The Lord. Did you know there's room at the foot of the cross for everything? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Does anybody else not find that unique? Because what is it? What's the song we always sing? On the hill called what? Calvary? On the what? The hill. If it's a hill, how's the ground level? Have y'all ever thought about that? Or is that just one of those things I want ADHD on? Okay? This morning I want to encourage you with this. The simplicity of the gospel is repentance, forgiveness, love, mercy, and grace. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what? I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior. And without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.